Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Carl, thank you very much for that. Now, UNICEF spokesman James Elder is in Gaza and he's just back from his mission to Kamal Adwan, which is the hospital in the north of Gaza, where more than 23 children reportedly died from malnutrition and dehydration. And James Elder joins us live now from the territory, and you're welcome to the programme, James, this afternoon. Can you talk us through what you witnessed in Kamal Adwan, which, as I say, is in the north, where the humanitarian situation is at its worst?
Yeah, hi there, Sarah. Look, it's grim, you know. It's difficult to get to, for starters. The roads, everything has been devastated. To try and articulate what Gaza City, what these places look like as you drive through, I have seen buildings that I know had been destroyed, at least turned into sort of like dolls' houses, all the walls and windows smashed out, and now I see them a couple of months later and they've been further destroyed. It's like now things that have already been devastated are being devastated again. So you go through that, there are thousands of people on the street, you can clearly see the hunger, obviously people's sunken eyes, that look as they hold their hands to their mouth asking for food. We had, all the food we had was highly nutritious food for newborns. As you say, that hospital has really been the crisis point for the most severely malnourished children, and that's what I saw there again today. Children who, I'm sorry, but are on death's door, absolutely skeletal, mothers in tears, mothers, interestingly, just time and again in Arabic, just saying to me, ceasefire, ceasefire, pleading, like bemused, Sarah, as to how is this still going on? And I think everyone is.
I know you've called the events unfolding in Gaza a war on children, and the situation in Gaza in particular is completely devastating for children.
It absolutely is, in every single way that I think we probably haven't seen historically, at least quite possibly not in our lifetime, Sarah. I mean, now we're looking at the numbers of something like 13,000 girls and boys killed, 13,000, like 80 children on average every day for the last 150 days, thousands under the rubble. We are hitting catastrophic levels of malnutrition. One in three children in the north, one in three now under the age of two, you know, acutely malnourished. Every single child here must have, must be traumatized. Even having only been back for a few days, Sarah, the endlessness, the 24/7 of drones in the sky. And every child knows that drones drop bombs. Maybe you can hear them now, that drones drop bombs. So when UNICEF says war on children, we don't do that to be sensational. We do that because this crisis, this war, is having twice the number of child casualties as any crisis we've seen before. And that's because of the indiscriminate nature. That's because of the ferocious nature of this. That's because children quite simply have nowhere to go. And now we are seeing the threats on the ground that we've warned of for so long. The malnutrition, the disease, because people's coping mechanisms have just been utterly, utterly smashed.
And I imagine the fear then, or the worry, is that will quickly accelerate because, as you say, people's, all their defences really are down in terms of their immune system, their ability to cope with anything. So their prospects will be much worse.
It's a hard thing when you go around the streets to look at and to see. I mean, you know, an organization like UNICEF, our partners, you know, World Health Organization, everyone is doing everything they possibly can in really difficult circumstances. You've seen how many aid workers have been killed here, how many journalists have been killed here, but we still know the work still is a drop in the bucket based on restrictions, based on this being an active war zone. And the level of devastation, so the water systems, you know, the warehouses, all the things that children rely on day to day, they're just gone. I mean, there's no doubt, I think, that the horror here is definitely surpassing at least my ability to describe it, but I've always promised that I wouldn't fall into that. But today. I just wish I could sort of share, you know, almost share to your listeners the tears of all the mothers I met who, and many times, and these are brave, brave women who are very, very stoic, but they're done. They're exhausted. They're so desperate, Sarah, to protect their children now, not just from bombs, but from starvation. But they know more and more that the power to protect their children is no longer with them. That lies with people elsewhere.
And in terms of the aid that's getting through at this point, James, what's the situation on that?
Look, the roads are the answer. You know, the aid is, I was on that convoy today. There was another convoy. I was just sitting with a colleague that again went up north. Again, nutritious foods, blankets, waters. So it's getting there, but it's, again, not the amount we need. And the two convoys today came from the south. So you're taking hours and hours in a very difficult environment to move up, whereas you could, Sarah, simply open up access points in the north. There are very many ways to get much more aid in. So the United Nations, the partners, the Palestinian partners on the ground are doing everything absolutely possible. But, you know, we've repeatedly attempted to deliver more aid, repeatedly called for these access challenges to be addressed. That hasn't been the case. We have to be very clear. I mean, it really is time to be as candid as possible. Children are suffering, they are dying, they are starving, and that's happening because of decisions being made by those in power. You know, Israel, as the occupying power, has a legal responsibility to facilitate aid, and still we are hamstrung, and that's why you see the sort of desperate scenes I saw today.
And yet I know the Israeli ambassador to Ireland, for example, was speaking publicly yesterday, and she was saying, you know, we're doing everything we can, that there's, you know, thousands of tons of aid getting through, that there's loads of trucks getting through, that we are, you know, doing everything we can.
Yeah, well, it needs to be a lot more. And the most simple thing to start with would be to not just have one entry point. So if you know, the Gaza Strip, a long strip, 45 kilometres, the one access point we have is from the south with the Egyptian border, but there are four or five others that can simply be opened. That is absolutely in their control. And several of those are in the north that would make very, very quick access with the food and water that is so desperately needed for those children and families. That could be done with the signature of a pen, and that's out of our hands, but that would be a game changer for our aid delivery.
So if that was done, James, tomorrow or today, if those border crossings were opened in the north, the aid trucks are there waiting to get in, I understand. How quickly then would the aid get to people?
Well, same day. I mean, so when I came in that southern crossing, the only one that's open, there's hundreds of trucks ready to come in. Now, there are not hundreds of trucks at those other crossings because they have never, ever been open, but that would change within a matter of days. And then every single day, those trucks could come in, go through the processes, the security clearance processes, and you could flood, as everyone says, the Secretary General says, flood the Gaza Strip with that much needed aid. That could start to occur. That would be the critical thing because, Sarah, right now we have, even if there was no war, no bombardment, this would be the highest level humanitarian crisis because of what people have been deprived of, because of the lack of water, the lack of food, the disease spreading, the 2/3 of everyone's homes devastated, turned into rubble. We have all of that, but we have restrictions on aid and we very much still have the bombs.
James Elder, UNICEF spokesman in Gaza, thank you very much for joining us this evening.